Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet a very special World War II Marine, see what our Minnesota AMVETs are doing during the holidays, and get an update from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Thanksgiving is a special time in America when we pause our busy lives as best we can to give thanks for all we have. Our nation's first Thanksgiving, modestly celebrated in 1621 by our Native American and Pilgrim ancestors, was a three-day-long festival, marking the end of a good year's harvest. While time and technology has moved us away from a life immediately dependent on what we can hunt and grow, what hasn't changed is our dependence on each other for happiness and success in life. This year, I hope that you and your family and friends take the time to share your gratitude for each other. From our family to yours, happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for everything you do to make our state and nation better every day.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is one of our favorite World War II veterans who served in the United States Marine Women's Reserve, Ms. June Fremont. June, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. It's my privilege to be here.
June, they tell me that you served in the Marine Corps during World War II. What prompted you to enlist in the United States Marine Corps?
Oh, well, several reasons. I was very patriotic. And when that war began, and especially after Pearl Harbor was hit, I decided to go in the service. And also, from my background, my father was in World War I and also was a leader in the American Legion, so I saw a lot of that military stuff. So I decided to enlist in the Marine Corps. And the reason I went in the Marine Corps, because I heard that it was the hardest one to get into. So that's why I went there.
So you picked the toughest one and took them on.
Right.
And you're still here to talk about it.
You better believe it.
You better believe it. Well, tell us about your service in the Marine Corps.
Well, when I first went to boot camp, is that what you wanted me?
Sure, I was boot camp.
Yeah, boot camp was indeed so different. When I went into the Marine Corps and when I went to boot camp, I wore a size 6.5 shoe. When I came out, I wore an 8.
How did that happen?
Well, because we march and march and march and march.
And ate a lot of groceries.
Yes. And we tried to do everything. Our barracks was set up the same as the men's as far as any activity and so forth was as close as that. And I was a BAR man in my squad. BAR was a Browning automatic rifle.
Yes, ma'am.
I had bruises on my shoulder from shooting because the backfire. But I was good with the pistol. So, and in boot camp, we learned what was going on in the world and the Marine Corps. And so after boot camp, I was sent to Washington, D.C.
So you spent some time at the Pentagon?
Oh, yes. That's where I was sent. I worked for a captain. Oh, I worked on missing in action, killed in action, presidential citations, and so forth. And what I would do is, and also on rosters, I knew where every Marine was all over the world. And then I would help do letters for FDR to give to a mother and father who would come to pick up their fallen soldier.
So presidential letters for President Roosevelt.
Yes.
And I understand that you spent some time with Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, yes, indeed. They needed a volunteer for a big rally to introduce Lord Halifax. Now, Lord Halifax was the British ambassador to FDR and to the United States. And so while I was waiting in the wings to introduce him, in comes Eleanor Roosevelt. So she immediately came up to me, the sweetest lady, and wanted to know, where are you from? And I was from Chicago originally. And are they feeding you all right? Do you like the Marine Corps? She just asked me all kinds of questions. So I asked her, I said, how do you like being the First Lady? And she said, it's a job for, it's a really hard job. So after that, we shook hands. And I have a program that I give about my Marine Corps. So I always tell everybody, this is the hand that shook Eleanor Roosevelt's hand. And so I haven't washed it in 72 years. So if you want to shake hands with me, you've shaken with Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, my.
But don't laugh, because people do come up and touch my arm. You'd be surprised. It's just a fun thing.
For our listeners, I want to tell them about how you're dressed today. You've got on a nice jacket that says Marine Veteran on it. And, of course, you've got the Marine Corps insignia on it. So you're just like the guys. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Absolutely.
They're never going to let it go, are you?
No, I hope not.
That's good. That's good. So what else? I understand that you had a story about being on KP in Thanksgiving while you were
yes.
in the Marines.
Well, that was when I was... let me tell you first. When I was in Hawaii, was Thanksgiving. I was on KP, and I was put with the butcher, and he gave me orders to take the pins out of turkeys, big fin feathers. And so after that, it took me a long time to eat turkey again. But I do eat it now. But at that time, it was a hard thing to do.
So, June, this interview is going to be played out on Thanksgiving weekend this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Is there anything?
Well, I got a story with it, huh?
Yes. Is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners about how Marines think about Thanksgiving when they're overseas, like Hawaii or away from home?
Well, yes. You know what? We would... I'll explain. We'd have a camaraderie amongst ourselves.
A family of Marines.
Yes, yes. We would, you know, bolster everybody up. So.
And celebrate the holiday the best way you could.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so do you think about that now at Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah, always. Oh, I think about all the things that I did in the Marine Corps all the time. I wonder if there's going to be a Marine Corps in heaven.
There has to be, don't you think?
I think so.
There should be a few of them that made it there, Miss June. And you'll find out someday, but hopefully not soon.
No, hopefully.
There's probably a nice corner up there for Marines and maybe some Air Force guys and Army, Navy, maybe even the Coast Guard. June, how long did you serve in the Marine Corps, and how did you arrive back in Minnesota?
Say that again.
How long did you serve in the Marine Corps?
3 years.
3 years. And how did you get to Minnesota when you started in Chicago, right?
Well, when I was stationed in the Pentagon, they used to put up folders on our bulletin board looking for girls to sign up, and they would send buses to us. And we would go to the different camps where the guys were going out, like the paratroopers. This one, the paratroopers were going to go out the next day. So they would have girls come in and talk with them, play cards with them, dance with them, whatever, before they left. And at that time, when I went to this one, the one who was the head of it he immediately took my arm and said, you know, today is my birthday, and my mom sent me a cake. Would you like to have some? So I said, sure. So he says, well, come back in my office. And this turned out to be my husband. And he was from Minnesota. So that's how I ended up here.
So all he had to do was offer you a piece of cake, and that was it.
That's it.
I thought it was harder to get a Marine than that.
Well, it took a while. In fact, one time I was a dancer, the Lindy and stuff. And so another sailor and I at the barracks, we were having a big dance contest. So he asked me if he would be my partner. So I said, sure. So we were practicing dancing, and all of a sudden over the loudspeaker said, June Schwark, come down to the field because there's somebody here to see you. So I went down there, and here's my Lee Fremont. So what am I going to do with him? So on our compound, we had a big hill. On one side of the hill, you could have cokes and tables and stuff. The other side was where our barracks were. So I brought him in, and I sat him down, and I said, have a coke, and so I'll be right back. So I'd go over to the sailor, and we dance a little bit, and I say, I'll be right back. I go back over the hill to Lee, and finally he said, I'm going into town. If you want to come with me, okay. Otherwise, forget it. So I forgot it.
And went to town.
I went to town.
June, I want you to hold that thought. We have to take a short break. McTux, when we come back, we're going to talk more with June Fremont, a World War II Marine, about her life and times in the Marine Corps and after. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we've been talking to a World War II United States Marine Corps Women Reserve, June Fremont. And June, we had a good time in that first segment hearing about your story in the Marine Corps. And you served for 3 years, and you met a guy from Minnesota, and you came back to Minnesota, and you must have married that fella.
You bet.
And I understand you had a few children.
Yes, I had 6 children, 13 grandchildren, 30 great-grandchildren.
Oh, my.
And one on the way. 31 is coming.
Look at what you started.
I know. But my kids, all of them, are such giving people. They're just an addition to the United States. One of them.
How did they feel about knowing that their mother was a Marine?
Oh, every place I've gone, there have been at least 10 of them that come with me. They're always looking out for me.
And they liked the fact that Mom was a Marine.
Oh, yes, yes.
Very good.
When I went to the military ball for the 242nd birthday of the Marine Corps in Washington, D.C., there were 10 of them that went to that.
So you had a lot of dates for that one.
Yes.
Did they introduce you at that military ball?
Oh, well, I was the oldest Marine there. See, the custom is they take the oldest Marine that was there. And this was the first time they used a woman. And then they have the youngest Marine so that when they cut the huge cake they bring out, when they cut the cake, they give me the plate with 2 forks. So I take a bite with one, and I pass it on to the Marine, who is younger. In other words, I'm passing on my knowledge to him.
June, it's the first time I've had a guest on that had 2 cake stories in one interview. First, you had a cake when you met your husband-to-be, and now you just went to a banquet, and you had another cake story.
I guess so. I never thought of that.
Now, I understand that you had 6 children, and you spent time at home, and you were raising them because you had a bunch of boys in there.
Right. Well, I had a girl, 4 boys, and then a girl. The girls are the bookends. And so when my last youngest one was going to high school, but had graduated 8th grade, I decided to put my application in at 3M.
For a job?
For a job.
And you got hired.
Well, and I was 50 years old. I never thought I'd get in.
And you started a long career at 3M.
Yes, 43 years.
Starting at age 50.
Yeah, at age 50.
Good work, June. That sounds like something a Marine would do.
Yeah.
Now, what was your position over at 3M?
Well, at 3M, I had several different jobs, but the main one was I worked in audiovisual. I worked with all the photography that was done at 3M. All of our photographers, I would assign them to different people who needed a photographer at 3M.
And did you have that same position for all those 43 years?
Let's see. No. Then I retired. I retired then. But then they needed somebody for, and they called me and said, you want to come back? And so I did. And I worked for corporate marketing services. I worked with all the publicity and public relations of different items at 3M. And I was put on a computer, and I did lots of stuff like that. It's hard to explain because...
Well, I think the important thing, June, is you tried to retire, and 3M just couldn't survive without their Marine. So they talked you into coming back to work.
Yeah. And then I retired a few years ago.
Do you still stay in touch with the folks at 3M?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I brought two with me. So
I know you brought a friend with you that's part of the military support network at 3M, Tim McElroy.
Right.
And maybe we found a good job for him now. He's your driver.
I guess.
He's laughing at us, so I think we're safe, June.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's a safe driver, though. I'm glad he was able to get you here to the station.
Well, you talk about driving. When I was in Hawaii, I drove for our commandant, and when I when he would pick, we had a pool of three gals to drive him, but he always picked me, and we'd be going along, and he'd say, Corporal, you have a heavy foot, so I'd have to slow down.
So did you like to drive fast, June?
Yes. I'm from Chicago.
And you're a Marine?
Yes.
Nothing happens slow for Marines, does
it? No, never.
Now, did any of your children or grandchildren ask you about serving in the military?
Well, only recently, since I've been going to these occasions. Now, I had a son who was in the submarine service.
The Navy and the Marines were always pretty close anyway.
Yes, yes.
Navy was always transporting the Marines to some place to go fight.
Right.
June, we've got listeners all over Minnesota that listen to Minnesota Military Radio, and there's probably a lot of young ladies out there that want to ask you about your service in World War II, your service in the Marine Corps, and whether or not you would recommend that they join the Marine Corps.
Oh, if I was younger, I'd join it again.
Do it all again.
I do it all again. It you learn so much, and your experiences are so satisfying. And
you make some friendships that last a lifetime.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So do you participate in some of the veteran service organizations? Do you go?
Yes, I do. Yes.
I know there's an American Legion over on the east side of town they call it the 3M American Legion.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh,
well, Tim will have to, he's with us here. He'll have to tell you about that place.
Okay.
All right, June, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, I just appreciated being able to tell my story and just say God bless you all.
June, thanks for joining us today at the radio station, and I'm just thrilled to meet a World War II Marine who was part of the United States Marine Corps Women Reserve. Thanks for coming to join us today.
Thank you.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to find out what our Minnesota AMVETs are doing during the holidays. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to see what our Minnesota AMVETs are doing during the holidays and the rest of the year. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
As we gather to our own tables on Thanksgiving, let us not only give thanks for the blessings in our own lives, but give thanks to our servicemen and servicewomen. For those who are currently serving, and for those who have served on Thanksgiving's past, assuring us the precious blessing of liberty. John F. Kennedy once said, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them." As we return to our daily lives, let us live by our words and be grateful for all we have. Happy Thanksgiving to all our veterans and their families.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now in the studio is John Flores, who is the Department Commander of AMVETS here in Minnesota. John, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
John, can you share with me and our listeners, can you tell me about your service in the military?
Well, I've got over 20 years in, and like most people, you go to basic training and advanced training, and after that, unfortunately, I became a drill instructor. In California.
In what branch of the service, John?
That was the Army.
All right,
and,
United States Army.
Yeah, that started out as 66 to 68, and then I wound up in Germany and all sorts of different assignments and came out and went back to the University of Minnesota.
So you stuck it out and stayed in long enough to retire?
Some friend of mine said, you know, you really have to come and join the National Guard. We're having a lot of fun over here, and they were right. And I stayed until I had more than 20 years in.
So you were eligible for retirement.
Yes, I was, and I am. And but there's all sorts of different assignments. And I've worked 8 years in counter-drug. I worked as an interpreter with Spanish-speaking nations that came to Minnesota. Either through biathlon or training prior to going to Iraq or, you know, Afghanistan. And
so you had a pretty good variety of experiences in the Army.
You know, the avian flu, you know, the situation broke out, and I was the operations sergeant for that. And I was a training evaluator for our soldiers across the state. I was the person nobody wanted to see.
John, from now on, when I see you, I'm going to think drill instructor. And there's some other names we could use for that. But this is a family show, so let's be nice.
Yeah, well, the training evaluation was really important. People prepping up to go to Iraq or go to Afghanistan, and you wanted them to do well. Unfortunately, I failed a lot of them, and they had to do it over.
Not true, John. They trained well, and they did a good job.
And they did a good job, and they all went, and... but we had to work them hard to get it right.
And then they were happy that they knew how what to do when they got there.
They were very happy. I got words back that it was good that you did what you did because it was important.
But they didn't forgive you.
They didn't forgive me, no.
All right. Now, John, how did you get to AMVETS?
Well, somebody also introduced me to that through my church over on St. Paul's West Side. And We started the talking and had coffee, and I said, sure, I'll join. But I joined back at the end of my military career, and I couldn't participate very much. But once I retired, I was more active and worked my way up through the ranks and became post commander and ultimately became, state commander. And so it's been a real fun ride trying to take care of all kinds of people and their concerns and their needs. But basically, we work on the needs of soldiers. We're advocating at the legislature, as you well know. We didn't do so well last year on some things, and we did real well on others. But that's just typical.
We're speaking with John Flores, the Department Commander of AMVETS, on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, John, can you explain, our listeners know about the VFW and the American Legion and the DAV and Veteran Service Organizations, and AMVETS is another. What sets you apart, and what's your mission?
Well, in the early years, we started out in 1944, you know, right during the Second World War. And essentially, we're pretty much the same as the VFW and the Legion, but we're a slice in between. VFW has, you know, combat veterans in country. The Legion takes a slice by date, and we take all veterans that are honorably discharged. And our mission is to serve veterans. And so their mission is to serve veterans as well. And so we try to do that in a variety of ways through either legislation or direct support.
So to be eligible to join the American Veterans, AMVETS,
yes,
you simply have to have served in the military and have an honorable discharge.
Honorable discharge.
And how many members do you have in Minnesota?
We have about 1,000 members currently.
And do you have posts? Do you have, where do you
We have meet? 17 posts scattered around the state, most of them outstate. We have a couple posts that are in the metro, but most of the others are out in the distance.
Out. So you get to, as the state commander, you get to drive around a little bit.
I get to drive around a little bit, yeah.
That keeps you out of trouble then, too.
Well, it keeps me out of trouble, but visiting those posts is absolutely fun. They are just fun people.
So as far as veteran service organizations are concerned, what do you do? How do you serve? How do you serve your community? How do you take care of your veterans and their families?
A lot of that is referral to the right sources. Veterans that come in looking for educational benefits or some help that way, you know, we'll talk to them. What are their interests and what are they doing? What do they want to do? And make some recommendations that they see certain counselors, and we push them in that direction. Veterans that are trying to get, they walk in the office door, and we're open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings, and they'll walk in the office door looking for ID cards. They don't know where to go. We'll make sure they get there. Sometimes they need to see a veteran service officer on their health care, and we'll get them in hooked up with that by county, and the county undoubtedly will pull their records and get them together. The post that I also am the commander of, we're right in St. Paul. In the past, we got a lot of calls to help veterans, and generally we take them to shelters after they get hooked up with the county VSOs. They get processed, and they get out of those shelters. They get moved into something where it's a little bit more military appropriate for them and get them started on the road back to being normal, get a job, get some help, clean up, and so that's a part of it.
So, John, we're right here. I don't know where the year went. We're right here on the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and we got the Christmas holidays coming up. What, does AMVETS get involved in any events over the holidays?
We do. We generally donate food, or we don't donate dollars to settlement houses for food. We've been doing that every year. And we also provide gift cards. One of our volunteers is at the Whipple Building or even at the VA hospital in Minneapolis. If a soldier comes in and is getting treatment and doesn't have gas to come home, it's very likely he's going to walk into Bob, and Bob's going to give him a small gas card to get home. Also, if they're really down and out, they need something for their family, we'll give them a gift card to Cub Foods so they can bring home a little groceries and help that way, until they can get hooked up with other resources.
So your members in your organization must do some fundraising events so that you've got some funds to be able to provide these.
Yes. We do a diversity day at the VA hospital every year where we raise about $1,000. And most of that money goes right back to veterans or food for shelters. And our post, we sell tacos, and they're well-received. We've got a great reputation at the VA hospital. And we do real well. It's just fun. It really is a lot of fun.
So, Commander, are you looking for new members?
Always. Yeah. Always.
And where do they go for more information?
They just simply have to call the office or call me directly, 651-231-3601, and I'll take care of business for you.
So is there like an AMVETS website or anything?
There is. You can also join AMVETS online by logging into AMVETS National, and you click the box to join. And you go right down, you can join right online.
So it's real easy to do.
It's easy to do.
Come on down to your post meeting and
come on down.
Help serve up some tacos.
Yeah, there you go. That's that's the fun part.
All right.
Everybody's getting along, laughing, having a good time.
Commander, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Commander John Flores from AMVETS on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to John Flores, the commander of AMVETS here in Minnesota. And if you're interested in joining that organization, please go to amvetsmn.org. They're looking for some members, and they do some great activities. And, John, I understand that you've got a new program that you're going to do in each of your posts called Remember Me. Can you tell me about that?
Well, essentially, it's to remember the veterans who have served and who are members of each of the various posts. We take a photograph of that veteran, and then next to it, we'll put a brief biography of where that veteran served, what service branch he served in, perhaps a little bit about community, but we'll do that for each member. And that'll be a combined book for each post, but we're going to do much of it digitally on flash drives so that we can give each member that participates a flash drive so they can take it home to their families and grandchildren so they will know what grandpa or grandma has done in their war or in their military service.
What a great project and a great name, Remember Me, because you're going to have digital record of all your members.
Exactly, and it was inspired by not only Veterans Day, but by just the whole atmosphere. We need to remember our veterans and what good people they are and the sacrifices they made for this country.
Now, John Amvitz, as Commander of Amvitz, you are a member of the Commander's Task Force.
That's correct.
Which combines the commanders of the VFW, American Legion, DAV, Amvitz. And you all get together to combine your membership so you can go up on the hill and talk to the legislators. And in next spring, our listeners should watch out for, we're going to have Vets Day on the Hill, and we're going to talk about some legislative initiatives. But you're meeting with those other commanders, and you're trying to prioritize the things you want to work on this next session.
Yeah, we've been doing that already, and we'll refine that going forward in December and January. We'll meet with the legislature. A few of them are veterans, so we have a little simpatico with them. But at the same time, we want to move that agenda that we can. We're not lobbyists, but we're advocates. And so we almost got a lot of things done last year, but some things got vetoed or pushed aside. So we're hoping this year with a favorable governor who is a veteran that we might get a little better treatment and get the survival benefit there and maybe some help for our disabled veterans for fishing and hunting.
The Commander Commissioner Shalado from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs refers to the Commander's Task Force as his board of directors.
That's true.
And, of course, he's charged with taking care of our veterans all over the state.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he gets a lot of ideas and he bounces things off of you. It's a pretty good exchange, isn't there?
It's wonderful. He listens and he works hard for us, in his ways and his channels. And we work hard for our channels by attending legislative meetings and having our input.
And it's got to be a good opportunity for you to meet the other department or state commanders of all those other veteran service organizations.
Absolutely. We work together closely.
So you can coordinate your activities and get some things done.
That's true.
And actually, combined membership, you represent a whole lot of folks here in Minnesota.
Quite a lot. Thousands.
Well, I hope you have a great year up at Vets Day on the Hill this year, and appreciate you coming to the studio today and sharing with us AmVets. Tell us, we just got a few seconds left. If anybody's interested in joining, they go to amvetsmn.org.
They can go there or they can go to the national website. AmVets National, drop-down menus will tell you how to register and how to do it right online.
John, thanks for joining us today.
Welcome.
That was John Flores, the commander of AmVets here in Minnesota. Joining me now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Appreciate you having me back.
Sir, are you getting settled back into that chair now that you're done being the acting regional director?
Yeah, I mean, I've been back for a little over a month now, and as I've mentioned to you before, Tom, I served in the Navy for 29 years, and I'm accustomed to moving around a lot. So I really enjoyed my time away, but I am very happy to be back as well.
Well, it's always great to talk to you, sir. Now, Director, I understand that you've made some administrative changes with two of your CBOC, and perhaps you can remind our listeners what a CBOC is.
Yeah, great. The VA, as you can appreciate, like the DOD, has no shortage of acronyms. So our CBOC are community-based outpatient clinics. They're our community clinics, 13 of them that we have in Minneapolis, surrounding state of Minnesota, ranging from Ely down to Albert Lea, and so 9 in Minnesota, 4 in the state of Wisconsin, and what they do primarily in those community clinics is they all do primary care, they all do mental health, they all do telehealth, and a few of them have some specialized services like audiology or dentistry or sometimes optometry, but normally it's primary care and mental health. So what has changed recently, and this was effective October 1st, is we transitioned our Ely and Hibbing clinics from contracted clinics to VA staffed. What we had experienced was that veterans, at least in that part of the country, were more comfortable dealing directly with VA staff, many of whom are veterans, and so we had a contract up there for several years. The contractor did a fine job, but we decided, based on listening to the veterans, that they really it was their preference. We had VA staffed clinics, and actually it has worked out very well. We've filled most of the positions, and sometimes in rural Minnesota it's difficult, but we have filled almost all of the positions, and we even have a couple of open houses coming up, same locations but different staff. And so for veterans who are interested, Ely on the 6th of December from 11 to 1, and then the following day in Hibbing on the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, open house from 11 to 1 in northern Minnesota.
Very good, sir. Ever since you've been coming on the radio show, I've been teasing you about having your hard hat on, but I know that there's something happening on the first floor in the mental health area. Are you doing a little more construction, sir?
Yeah. So mental health, as your listeners probably appreciate, is a growing business for the VA. So, it's growing for the VA, and there are fewer resources in the community. So what your listeners will see if they come into the medical center is that, down on the first floor, we've started a three-phase project to expand mental health into new offices, counseling rooms, and we're growing the number of inpatient rooms that we have because we're almost always full. So plastic went up last week in order to sort of minimize the noise and disruption, and we've shifted some offices and posted some new signage. And veterans, just keep doing what you're doing, and when you come in, you'll see our great volunteers in a red vest. If you're confused at all about where to go or who to see, see one of those men or women in the red vest, and they will get you to the right spot.
Sir, is there anything new to report on the VA Mission Act?
Well, Tom, not much new. So the law takes effect on the 6th of June this year. And so behind the scenes, the VA, primarily the central office staff, are working on components of the law to include how we're going to implement the new caregiver program, which will be much broader and include all eras of veterans, how they're going to, some judgments about access standards. As your listeners will know, now it's 30 days or 40 miles, and under the new VA Mission Act, the secretary has wide, broad authority to determine, how he's going to allow veterans to access community care and under what circumstances. So we don't know those things yet, but there are some good enhancements under the new law. In the meantime, we're funded for choice up until June, and it'll look largely the way it is now. But be looking for some changes, really, sort of around the early summer, and we're going to have to publish some new regulations and some new things to educate veterans. But lots of activities really behind the scene right now.
Sir, I understand you had a big turnout for your Veterans Day program this year.
Yeah, it was great. So Major General Steiner has been our guest speaker for many years. He's one of our volunteers here. And this was specifically intended, as I'd mentioned previously, Tom, that, many of our veterans just can't get out. So there are great events around the Twin Cities, many, many around the state. But this event really is intended for our hospitalized veterans. So we had over 100 patients. Some of them in their hospital beds, others, of course, in wheelchairs and being brought down by family and staff. It was a terrific event, and it really, this year, one of the new things we had some bagpipers this year. We had, of course, service music and the U.S. Army Band Ensemble. So a great chance for those veterans who can't get out, who can't get away, to be inspired by their service and to recognize them in that event. So it was terrific this year. It really turned out well.
Sir, we just got a few seconds left, but I understand you're still looking for a few good men and women. Yeah. Are you still hiring, sir?
Always hiring. So we have about 4,500 people who work for us in the Minneapolis VA in our clinics, but we are always looking, particularly for nurses and doctors and pharmacists, therapists, for those healthcare professionals who want to work. The VA is a great opportunity. So, yeah, thanks, Tom. We are always looking for even when our jobs are full, there's always turnover. So we're always hiring at the VA.
Director, thanks for joining us again today, and I hope you have a great holiday season out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
My pleasure, Tom. Thanks again.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Ms. June Fremont, John Flores, Minnesota MVETS, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelotto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we get a 34th Infantry Division Red Bull update from Kuwait. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.